This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Allegheny Health Network, Montour Sports Complex. He will be there later today. Big home show this weekend. Next weekend, Andy and I and Doug will be back there next Sunday at Cool Springs. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But right now, we're going to give you that opportunity as we start the Organic Gardener Show for this Sunday, the last Sunday in February with Doug, DougOster.com. If you're the 10th caller, you want a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles in Wexford, 412-922-1020. And it's all about your gardening questions. Think spring, think gardening, and give us a call, 866-391-1020. But before we do anything, Doug, obviously, spending time with my friend John Burnett many years down at KDK Television, Pittsburgh Today Live, and that's where we want to begin on page one today. Doug.
Yeah, John Burnett was, he passed away last week, and we worked together a lot, appeared at charity things together, and he was just an amazing guy, so much fun. He was always busting your chops off the air. But the guy you saw off the air was the same guy you saw on the air. He was just a very inquisitive person. When you were interviewed by John Burnett, he looked you in the eye, and he had questions that most people wouldn't ask. He had real questions, sometimes silly questions, but he was so great. I think the thing I hear about the most from the times that I worked with John, and we spent well over a decade working together on KDK at one way or another, mostly PTL. But the thing I hear about the most was the day that I was talking about keeping squirrels out of the bird feeder. And I tell the story all the time. But, you know, after posting a video that Andy and I did with him when he retired, when he ate an entire habanero pepper, and I had a friend ate a habanero pepper. 20 minutes later, he thought he was having a heart attack. But he, on air, ate a habanero pepper. But this one where I did the squirrels in the bird feeder segment, I had this liquid. It's from Kohl's, and it has a squirrel with flames coming out of the squirrel's ears on the, and it's not even food grade. And I didn't have it open. And so I just told him, I said, this stuff, you put this on the bird seed, and they will not touch the bird seed, the squirrels, because this stuff is hot. And he goes, I love hot stuff. And he unscrewed it and took a swig of it, and that was it. They were rushing around the studio looking for milk, and he had to leave the segment for a minute. And that's the kind of guy he was. You would tell him not to do something, and he would do it. But just a great person, and rest in peace, John. I'm so glad I got to know somebody like that, and what a great career, and how great he was at what he did. He just lit up the room. So John Burnett, just a wonderful person.
What else on your mind?
Well, speaking of Sorgles, they'll be holding their annual free pruning demonstration in 2 weeks, Sunday, March 9th, 1 p.m. Give them a call. Get on the list. But if you have ever wondered how to prune, and I don't care how many pictures you look at in a book, when you see the team at Sorgel's showing you exactly where to cut and how to cut, it makes it all, you'll understand it right away. You got a free pruning demonstration. We'll talk about it over the next couple of weeks, but it's something that you should get signed up for. You should go see them. And finally, a break in the weather. Oh, looking at the 10-day, it looks amazing. Now, I had a friend, we just got out of college, and he moved to Florida. And we'd talk here and there, and I said, man, it must be amazing to be down in Florida with that weather. And he goes, you know what I miss? I miss that first day that you would step out the front door and you could smell spring, because we don't have that down here. And I think this week, on those 50-degree days, we might get that day where you smell it and it's changed. Yes, March can be tough. We can get snow in it, but it melts. And so this is a time to get the garden ready, cover those beds with compost, get all the old, if there's any old annuals in there, get those out of there. And so, believe it or not, as soon as it goes to 50, start looking for weeds. Bittercress is one of those first weeds that comes up. And if you don't get it before it goes to seed, you'll be battling that for another 7 years. And lots of it, when I look in the garden, something called frost heaving, where when you get the cold freeze and then some warm and cold, it'll push plants out of the soil. And so just with your foot or with your hand, just kind of push them back in. I can't wait to get started. I can't wait. Oh, also look for evergreen perennials that are damaged. I looked at my beloved hellebores that will be, the Lenten rose that will be blooming in the spring, and oh, their foliage took a beating. And this happens sometimes when those flowers come up. We'll remove some of that ratty foliage. Same with shrubs. Any evergreen shrubs, take a look at them. See how they came out of this. When we get to 50, it's going to be perfect to walk around the garden and check things out. T-minus 24 days until we plant our peas. That's not very long at all. Mm-hmm. We'll be in the garden putting compost down. A couple of peas that I love, that I've fallen in love with. One is called Shiraz Purple Snow Pea, and I talk about it all the time. I get it from this place called Kitchen Garden Seeds. And it has beautiful purple flowers, purple pods. It's super tasty and has a very long season. It lasts into the warm weather, which is awesome. That's what peas love, cold weather. We're planting them on St. Patrick's Day because they like cold weather and they can't stand it when we get to summer. This one goes into June. And there's another one I've been growing for 40 years, which you could find anywhere. Oregon Sugar Pod 2. Again, I like this. I like snow peas. That's the kind of pea I like to grow. All the local nurseries have their seeds out. And so before you go, make a little list of what you have and what you need. We talk about this all the time. If you've got some old seeds, how to test them. Put them in a wet paper towel, into a Ziploc bag, put it somewhere warm. In a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, take a look and see if anything is sprouted, and if you got 50% sprouting or more, I would plant them. If you want to start something inside, some of the cool weather stuff, lettuce, arugula, other leafy greens, beets, Swiss chard. When we get to the big Home and Garden show, I'll have some Swiss chard seeds to give away. But today I am going to be at the Montour Home Show, 2 o'clock today. It's at the AHN Montour Sports Complex, State Avenue, Coraopolis. I'm going to be presenting Grow Your Best Garden Ever. Come see me. Let's talk gardening. But I've got some free, rare heirloom tomato seeds to give away. They were sent to me by listeners. I actually posted pictures of the packets on my Facebook page yesterday, and somebody responded and said, those are mine. That's my handwriting. So this is cool stuff. So I've got an heirloom seed from Italy, which is just described as a great-tasting pear-shaped tomato. And then the other one I have, they're Polish tomatoes, deep rose colored, grows over 6 feet high, must be staked, and they're large fruit, and it was brought to the U.S. in the 1940s. And so this would be an interesting one. These are tomatoes that aren't in commercial cultivation, and I have too many tomato seeds. I'm starting to give away some of this stuff. I always keep a little bit of the stuff that people send me and try them out when I can, when I've got space. But I want other people to try these. And if somebody's taking the time to save these tomato seeds and send them around, you know it's a good tomato. Another thing real quick, my free online garden classes have begun for Farm to Table. Buy fresh, buy local, every Thursday, 5 o'clock online, and we record it. You can watch it later. This week, it's all about winter outdoor seed sowing.
So now we take a break, and when we come back, we go to your phone calls. So 866-391-1020. If it's gardening on your mind on this Sunday morning, we're here to help. 866-391-1020. It's your Pratt Pack.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's load up these phone lines. You got a gardening question you're planning on planting in the spring, call us now. I got the advice from Doug Oster waiting in the wings, 866-391-1020. Before we get to Bob, he wants to talk about Italy.
Yes, I've got a 13-day trip coming up in October to explore Sicily and southern Italy this fall. And I did a webinar last Thursday. We've already got 15 people signed up. That tells you how fast people are signing up for Italy. Palermo, Valley of the Temples, Piazza, Marina, just Positano, Pompeii, all these amazing places, local farmhouse lunch, winery tour, all sorts of stuff. You can go to DougOster.com, see all about the trip. And I actually have 2 seats left for my May trip to London, Chelsea Flower Show, and explore London and the gardens of London. So check out DougOster.com if you're interested in any of those trips.
All right, here we go. It's Bob on the south side. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Morning, and how are you today?
Doing great. What's going on?
Now, about the last 2 years now, when I turn my garden over, I never find any worms.
Are you putting any compost or anything in there? Or
every year.
Huh, that's weird. But they just might be down a little lower. They've got to be there. If you're putting compost in, I'm sure they're there. How has your seasons been, though? Has it been
well, decent, but my garden turned a little bad. Steve, the bee man, he suggested I try a couple other things, but that hasn't seemed to happen.
What's going on with the garlic? You're not able to harvest?
It turned. No, I harvested a good amount, about 300. But the thing was that halfway through, they dried up real fast.
So, what are you doing with the garlic once you pick it? Where does it go?
I weave it in, and I hang it where it is it dries out.
Okay. Well, that you're doing the right stuff. Well, the first thing I would do this. Where did you plant it in the fall? Did you plant it somewhere different?
October 10th. I tried to change the garden all
okay.
over.
Okay, that's a
I
good
changing.
That's a good idea. My advice for the garlic is to see how it does this year. Moving to a different spot is probably going to help. And then for the garden itself, I think it's about adding a little bit more compost if you can, maybe by the bag, okay. maybe by the truckload. And
That's what I got last year. I got a whole truckload. That's in 3 yards.
All right. I would do it again. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's going to give that garden and those plants everything they need. And after you pick that garlic in the summer, let me know how things went, okay, so that we can make sure that you're getting your garlic. It sounds to me like you're doing everything right. Garlic has very few diseases or pests, but the diseases and pests are they're just really bad. So give us a call back when we pick that garlic, and hopefully everything will go good for you this year.
All right, 866-391-1020, one of our favorites in Moon Township. Here's Keith. Keith, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, is this Rock the Rob? Is this Rob the Rock?
I hope they're paying you well, Matt.
And life is a garden, dig it, Doug.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I was just wondering about my tomato plants. I do them in a container, right, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of lazy, so they're still sitting out there. Can I use that dirt over again? And what about the... You know, my, like, mulch and stuff I have on top. Do I have to throw that away and use the dirt over or start all over with new dirt?
How big are the containers?
Well, they're the same ones I use. They're about, I don't know.
Like a five-gallon bucket or bigger?
Yeah, five.
So I would replace all that, and I would recommend for you, since you are self-described lazy, as I am, I would encourage you to go bigger with the containers. Your tomatoes are going to be happier in actually 15 gallons or larger if you can do it.
When you talk about a 15-gallon, what's that, like up like mid-thigh or... You're up to these ones come not on about to the knee almost.
No, it comes to the knee, but it's just wider.
Not wide.
And I'm using
wider
I'm
wider or deeper or both.
Both. I'm using not really deeper. It's just it comes up to about your knee, and it's just more. It's just wider, and I'm using these fabric pots. They're called root pouch, and they're about $5-6 a piece, and. They, since they're a fabric, you can kind of dig them down a little bit in the soil, mm-hmm. like an inch or two, and they'll suck up water that way too. It also is like a natural way to root prune. And the 5 gallon bucket, you can do it as long as you.
I've been having success.
Yeah, it can work, but you got to keep water on them, especially when we get later in the season, because the root system gets so big, it's just filling that entire 5 gallon bucket. And with all those roots in there, it's sucking up water like crazy. If you still have like tomatoes in there and that sort of thing, you got to pull all that out of there. The mulch, you should just dump that all out and redo it with a really nutrient rich compost or a compost / planting mix, and just give that is the best soil you can in those containers for those tomatoes.
Right.
And I would try a couple, if you don't want to, you're successful with the 5 gallons, so nothing wrong with that. But I would just try a couple of the bigger ones, and I think you'll see you just don't have to water as often. And if you ever have an issue with blossom end rot where the bottom of the tomato starts to turn a little bit brown and becomes useless, that is a watering issue, and we see that a lot in containers when we have a hot year and they're in small containers and you can't give them enough water. I would just encourage you to try some bigger containers just to see how it works for you.
Okay. Hey, I want to grow a tomato about as like a small pumpkin. Are you going to give out that? Are you going to address to where I can maybe, that Polish tomato you were talking about?
Polish tomato, I haven't grown it, but I'm told it gets pretty big. But the one that I give away that I have free seeds for called Potato Top, Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top, I had somebody pick a 5-pounder of that one, but you'd have to give it everything. Most of those potato tops are 1 to 2 pounds. But that's a big beefsteak. If you want that one, you just go to DougOster.com, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send the seeds to you. I got lots of seeds of Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top. That's a big one. The other one I give away, Dr. Jim Snow, that is a pretty big one too. Take a look online at DougOster.com. See if any of those interest you, and maybe you'll have your red mini pumpkin.
All right, Keith, thank you for the call. By the way, he's going to be down there at the AHN Montour Sports Complex right over the hill from Moon Township outside of Coriopolis. So go down and say hello to Doug later today. Meantime, coming up next hour, it's all about seafood recipes. Then the great Dr. Bridget Schufo is here today. Of course, then it's the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Pirate baseball, they get a win yesterday against Baltimore. Lots of stuff to get to with Bucko baseball, some college basketball. And, yes, the NHL resumed last night with the Penguins losing to Washington on a night that they paid tribute to legendary announcer Mike Lang. And we got some NFL for you, as always. It's the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, all about our town, our team, and it's all home cooking. The Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show today at 11 on KDK with your Pratt Pack. Hey, don't forget, Doug's going to be at that AHN Montour Sports Complex, the big home show today around 2 o'clock, so stop on out. Great venue, easy access, free parking, food trucks out front, and Doug on the inside. And, of course, next weekend we'll all be back at Cool Springs supporting the home shows. But we are really excited because it's the big one. It's the behemoth. It's the one that we wait for. It's just weeks away, that beautiful location, David L. Lawrence Convention Center. And that great DeSantis family carrying on the tradition of the Home and Garden Show. I absolutely can't wait. My first sign of spring is when the billboards go up throughout Pittsburgh.
They're up.
That's when I know it's spring. And Doug's going to be there performing like every day. He's the only one that does a residency there. All right. 10th caller wins a Janoski's gift certificate. I'm going to tell you about a big event coming up for St. Patrick's Day there in just a little bit. I love what Patty and Mike do, so we'll take the 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020. But it's time to go to the phone, so get on the line and give us a call about gardening. Up first, Gary in the East End. Gary, how are you? Welcome to KDKA.
Hey, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. I have a question about jumping worms. I'm afraid I have them, and I'm worried.
Are you sure you have them?
Pretty positive,
oh,
yep.
Oh, man. That stinks. So this Asian jumping worm is a bad thing. It's an invasive, and I'm just telling this for the audience. I know you know this, Gary. And they eat all the leaf litter and everything off the floor. Any one of those, if you're sure what it is, any one of those that you could possibly physically catch, that's about all you can do on them.
Yep. Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to kill everything else in your landscape, and hopefully something will figure it out that, you know, like the birds will eat them or something, but this is really a bad thing. Now,
well, I was going to call you last year because my question was, why is my dirt, when I compost every year, why is it getting so dusty and drains so quickly?
Yeah, that sounds like you've got them. How about leaves, leaves around the yard and everything like that? Are you seeing anything there? Have you seen the actual worms?
Yes.
Oh boy. Mm. Well, it's not a good thing.
I've read to throw ginger or I think ginger powder or mustard powder and water it in, and they come to the surface, and that's your chance to get them. That's the best thing I can do right now, I guess.
It looks like you're going to be a worm hunter.
Great. Well, I do feed them to the koi. They do love them. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's a good thing, you know. And I'm a fisherman. I'll take some of those worms from you. But
okay.
Hey, do me a favor, Gary. As this progresses during the season, could you give us a call back and let us know how it's going for you? Because
sure,
I don't really know a lot about the Asian jumping worm. And if I get it, you know, I've got 4 acres of woods. If they start eating all those leaves, that's going to be awful. Other than the jumping worm, how was your season? Has having that worm affected how things are growing?
It doesn't seem to.
Okay.
But it just seems like my beds, though, are drying out so quickly that I can't keep up.
They must be eating the organic matter. And so for your beds, what do you do something every year or every so often? What are you doing to make those beds the way you want them to make?
I just really pile on the compost every year.
All right, that's what you need to do. And what are your favorite thing? What are your favorite things to grow?
Oh gosh, I love tomato. I have a big old Russian tomato that I get a 5-pound tomato off of every year. At least 5 pounds.
You better not say that too loud. Keith is going to track you down.
I know. But it was a good year. But we're off to the new year.
Where did that Russian tomato come from?
I had gotten it probably 25 years ago from some guys in Shadyside that saved heirloom tomatoes. And they gave me those seeds, and I've carried it along all these years.
Man, that's cool. What color is the tomato, and how is it, meaty, juicy, or beefsteak?
It is red. The skin is nice and thin, and there are hardly any seeds. It's the best sauce tomato I've ever had.
You know, Gary, that sounds like that might be a candidate to put into the Pittsburgh Preservation Project that I'm running.
Okay.
I've got 3 tomatoes I'm giving away. That might be one that we might want to add. So why don't you reach out through my website, DougOster.com, if you're interested, and we could work out a deal. Send me a few seeds, and I've got some other really cool tomato seeds I'd be glad to send you. We'll do a little seed swap, and maybe I could put that into my Pittsburgh Preservation Project since it came from Shadyside, and since you're growing it on the East End, that would be cool.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, keep us posted on these worms.
I will.
I need more information.
That's the first I've heard us ever talk about these.
No, we've talked about them before. These have been around now for maybe 5 years or longer, and they're really a pain. They eat all the organic matter, and like Gary was saying, that it turns that compost into kind of dust, and they'll eat all the leaf litter off. Like that's what's like in the
what's leaf litter
in the woods? It's just the trees drop their leaves. The leaves eventually decompose, and they feed the tree year after year.
Recycle.
Yeah, without that leaf litter, the tree doesn't have any nutrients year after year, and so we're really worried about these. I'm going to have to look up that when we go into the break, that putting mustard water on the bed to force them out and then get them. They're a worm that when you like touch them, they just go crazy, wiggling like crazy. That's how you kind of know what they are. So I'm growing a bunch of cool stuff this year, and stuff that you might consider growing. And one of them is a flowering tobacco. I really love flowering tobacco. It's very easy to grow, and most of them will self-sow. And so we have to go Latin. I'm sorry about that. But Nicotiana is the genus, and one of the species I'm growing is called Nicotiana sylvestris. And that's a big, tall one. Now, these seeds are like dust-like. This is one of the seeds that would be a candidate to start early. We talked about starting some of the leafy greens now. Certainly peppers could be started now. One more thing I should have mentioned, that this is the time also when we start fertilizing our house plants. I'm using this liquid fertilizer that I talk about all the time. It's called Dramatic with 2 M's. And I always say about this, I want you to know, this is not an ad for Dramatic. They do not send me free product. I buy it just like you do. I don't want you to think that this is just an ad for them. This is what I use. And man, it's fish-based, and it makes stuff grow. When you're applying it to your houseplants, it's going to smell like low tide. So you kind of got to do it when your wife goes away for a couple days. Anyway, back to Nicotiana sylvestris. Dust-like seeds. I like to start them indoors and in a flat. And with these kind of dusty small seeds like this, they like to be what we call surface sowed. And so you, in basic seed starting, and I do have a basic seed starting tutorial up at DougOster.com if you need it. You put down some already moistened planting mix into a flat or into some kind of container that has drainage, and you just sprinkle the seeds on top, and you don't put anything else on top of them, and you kind of press them in with a little piece of wood. As I said, they're dust-like, but they grow really quick once you get them started, and they're tough as nails. And flowering tobacco, this one is 6 foot tall, and it has these long 3-inch tubular flowers that are extremely fragrant at night. And so it's part of like a white garden. If you had Nicotiana sylvestris, maybe moonflower, things that open at night that are white. And so you go out there in a full moon and you'll be in heaven. The other thing that I'm making this year, like 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year, I had the year of the foxglove. I wanted to see if I could grow foxglove from seed, and it did really well. Some perennial ones and some other mixes. It was fun. Again, that's the same type of seed. That's like this dust-like seed. But the one type of plant that I found that the deer don't eat at all in my garden are salvias. And so this one seed company that I always order from, it's called J.L. Hudson. It's that crazy one that doesn't have any pictures in the catalog. Their website is like 1990s technology, but it's a great company. Actually, they had sent me my first batch of seeds, and you follow the tracking. It got stuck in Indianapolis and lost or something, and they just automatically refilled my order and sent it to me. They saw that it got lost, and I got my seeds. So I'm doing a couple different salvias from seed. And again, I posted this online, so I'm going to say the Latin names. You're not going to remember the Latin names, but the one is Salvia glutinosa, and it's a yellow flowering salvia that takes shade. It's a woodland plant. I grow my salvias right on the edge of the woods. They get about 5 hours of sun, maybe, and the deer walk right out and right by them. That's why I love the salvia. The other one is Salvia, and it has a common name, Purple Knockout. This thing, it's got purple foliage and purple flowers, and those are two of the things I'm going to do from seed this year. And I just always like to mix it up and grow something different.
All right, Doug, going to come back one more segment. Then it's seafood recipes with Frank Coons Cooking Hour. Then Dr. Shufo's here today. So we got lots of stuff still to do up until 1 o'clock. But you need to get on the phones at 866-391-1020. All right, number to dial if you want to talk to Doug, 866-391-1020.
Okay, I've got some information. I looked up a little bit about Asian jumping worms to identify them. Gray and brown in color, smooth, whitish something near their head, no slime, dry, scaly appearance, firm body, and they have this thrashing movement when they get agitated. And Gary was right on the money with the mustard water. 1/3 cup of ground yellow mustard into a gallon of water. It irritates the worm's skin and causes them to come to the surface. You take all the debris off the soil, and you slowly pour half of that mustard solution over the soil, wait a few minutes, then pour the rest. Then you collect and discard the worms. But there's some other controls. Use heat to kill the cocoons. Cover moistened soil early in the season with plastic for 2 to 3 weeks. Oh, wait, late summer or late spring or summer until the soil temperature reaches 104 degrees for at least 3 days. So you're kind of burning them up. Organic fertilizer. Apply organic fertilizer made of tea meal in April or May to kill newly hatched worms. I don't know what tea meal is, but that, Gary, I hope you're listening. And using abrasive materials, incorporate ground up charcoal, which is biochar. That's easy to find. A diatomaceous earth. That is easy to find at any nursery. And when the worms crawl over that stuff, especially the diatomaceous earth, it pierces their skin, and then that's it for the worm. So that should help. You know what? I'm going to post all this stuff about Asian jumping worms at DougOster.com so we have that information available. So some of the other things I'm going to grow from seed this year, one of my favorite all-time plants, and I talk about it all the time, it's called Tithonia or Mexican sunflower. And Mexican sunflowers are so easy to grow. They need nothing from the gardener. I like to start them early, 4 weeks before planting, but you could direct sow them if you want. The plant gets anywhere from 6 feet to 15 feet tall, and it's filled with 3-inch pretty orange flowers. There are other versions besides that big one. Last year I grew one called Goldfinger. Yes, Goldfinger. It was only about 4 feet tall. There are some other smaller ones, Fiesta del Sol, but they all have that 3-inch orange flower that pollinators can't resist. And again, it just doesn't need anything from the gardener. It is a full sun plant, but you can grow it anywhere. It'll grow in my garden in like 2 hours of sun. I just put them in the corner here and there, and they just do their thing. Sometimes you got to stake them up, but eventually that stalk becomes, you know, 3 inches thick, and it'll just be filled with blooms. The pollinators love it. Easy to grow. It's, you know, we're all trying to bring pollinators into the garden. And this plant is rarely on those lists of things to bring pollinators in the garden, but it is a great one to do it. Another one, a long-time plant that I've been growing these seeds since the 1980s. Back in the 1980s, I did a story. I worked for the Medina County Gazette, and I was getting really interested in heirlooms. This was kind of the start of the heirloom seed boom. And I interviewed a guy who actually, unfortunately, since his passed, he was a teacher, and he was really into heirlooms. And he gave me a little packet. I still have the original packet. As you can see, I'm a hoarder. But it's a bean called Cherokee Trail of Tears. And it's a pole bean. And the Cherokee grew it on the East Coast, and they were evicted from the East Coast and had this death march called the Trail of Tears in the mid-1800s. Ended up in Oklahoma. I kept the bean with them and shared it around. It's one of my favorite pole beans because it has a unique nutty flavor, very easy to grow. You just have to have support for it. If you haven't tried pole beans, if you're just growing bush beans, nothing wrong. I mean, I grow lots of bush beans. But pole beans, they put on beans a little later, but for a longer period of time, and they're much easier to pick because they're up at eye level. Cherokee Trail of Tears is a beautiful bean, too. It has purple flowers and then a green bean, which eventually turns purple, and then you cook it, and it turns green. The other pole bean that I'm growing, and this also comes from Kitchen Garden Seeds, is called Monte Gusto, and it is a yellow pole bean, and man, I am telling you, it's the most prolific bean I've ever grown. It's a long yellow bean, can be as long as 9, 10 inches, and it doesn't get stringy. I've told this story before, but the first time I grew it, again, the Kitchen Garden Seeds had sent me the seeds. Hey, try this, see what you think. I just threw the seeds behind some garlic without much compost in there. It was a decent bed, but not the best bed. And they grew up this fence behind the garlic, and I was seriously, without full sun, giving away freezer bags filled with these beans. And we love beans. We use a lot of beans in the house. Only two of us, though, so how many beans can you have? You know, bean casserole. I just, basically the best way for us, we always love our beans, is we just saute them with what else? Garlic. But that Monte Gusto is a great one. And now one more bean, real quick, Rob. It's called Borletti, and I saw it in this city in Italy called Lucca, and it has these, oh, just amazing striped red beans, the most just incredible. So those are just a few things I'm growing. Thanks for listening. Go to DougOster.com if you've got questions. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, here he goes. Coming up, Rob's got the latest news. Then we're in the kitchen cooking up some seafood today with Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour. It's on the way on KDKA.